Continue in our study of our Savior. And we'll go to a portion of Scripture here this morning in Luke in chapter 10 and starting at verse number 38. And as I put on your outline here, how does a man get into the heart of a woman? But let's try. Okay? We want to understand. We want to see this story here this morning. We want to see what's happening here in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to the end of the chapter. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went." Well, what's happening? Remember, we just said he sent out the 70, and the 70 came back, and all that God had done. And now the Lord is following up on the preparation that they made. And they went, and he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So often in ladies' devotions and ladies' fellowships and stuff, this portion of Scripture comes up and becomes a part of devotional time and discussion time. And as we stop and we look at these here, sometimes I think the ladies get a bad rap in what's going on. It's interesting as you look at this, we do know that it says he went out to a certain village, and we know that from chapters John 11 and 12 that this village is Bethany. It's where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had abode. Now, where's Bethany? If you were able to go out the eastern gate of Jerusalem and go straight out and up over the Mount of Olives and straight down the backside, Bethany is less than 2 miles away from the city gates of Jerusalem. Interesting how close the towns were. It's kind of like traveling from, you know, Acme to, you know, Elk Rapids or Traverse City or stuff like this, the same way. And so they traveled that about those 2 miles. It was interesting in reading some commentary on this. John MacArthur had made a statement that he's been in Bethany before, and Bethany's a part of the West Bank, and is part of the West Bank. It's Arab controlled, even though there's Israeli forces there, supposed to be under Arab control. And John MacArthur said one time, as he took a tour group through there, that an Arabic woman came up to him and said, "Please, for so much money, will you take my child and give my child a better life?" You know, you see these towns, you see these cities, you read about them in Scripture, but for us to stop and realize that they're still there. They've grown, they're populous, there's some of them that aren't there, but some of them are, and this is one of them that is. And so Jesus is going there, and he's going to Bethany, and as he's there, Martha comes out, and the word there, Martha, means mistress, literally, and there's doesn't seem to be a master of the house. Probably we read that her husband, we surmise that her husband has died. There's no more master of the house. There is a mistress of the house. And her name was Martha. And she appears to be the hostess. And as she's the hostess here, it says that she came out and she received him into her house. This is not a typical, well, come on in, Jesus, and your entourage. This was an embrace. This was a hug. This is, wow, Jesus is in my house. And we have to understand at this point that probably as Martha is there, this is more than just a social gathering here. You probably have Jesus' disciples there. You have her family there and probably other people. So all of a sudden, you've got a meal of at least 12 to 15, maybe 20 people that somebody has to make without microwaves, okay? It's got to be done over an open fire. Now, I don't know about you ladies, how would you like to cook Thanksgiving dinner over an open fire and be there and have the spit turning and the turkeys roasting over an open fire, and you're going to try to make other things and make breads and stuff like that over a small wood-fired stove? Now, some of you can do that. I can remember as a little kid, it was, and I was really small, but I remember my grandmother's old house and the big cook stove that she had in her kitchen area. And I mean, you know, chunking wood into it and keeping it going, and grandma cooking. I remember a couple times as a little kid cooking Thanksgiving meal over this huge, big old iron skillet. It was a big one, too. It had to be at least this wide. It was one of the bigger ones there. And then all of a sudden, I remember going back, and all of a sudden, wow, grandma had this white little stove sitting next to the wall, and there was a tube running through the wall to a propane tank, and the days of cooking with wood were gone. But to stop and think about that, and I can step back and think of grandma doing that, and I'm thinking, wow, that was a big chore at that time to make sure it gets cooked through and not overcooked and not undercooked, and all this kind of stuff that they did with that, it took a lot more time. You know, we turn around, we throw it in the microwave, we nuke it for a few moments, it's there, we got something else going, and we nuke that, we got the stuff in the oven, and we get, you know, it's all done. But here's Martha. And, you know, they've got open fires and stuff, and they've got to cook this meal for maybe up to 20 people. Now, I don't know about you, if you're doing it over an open fire, that would make me nervous, definitely. For many of you people, probably make you nervous too. And to have the rabbi himself be in your home. But when he comes, she comes out and just embraces him. That's the idea of she received him. And as she received him, we see this story here, and if we read this story, all of a sudden we go to Martha, we know what Martha's done and what's going on with Martha, and we immediately go to Mary, because Mary's the one that we're supposed to emulate. But do you realize in this story here, there's more said about Martha than there is about Mary? More said about Martha than there is about Mary. And so as we look at this and we read this, we see that Martha is the central person in the text. Now, it's interesting, as I was studying this, I had everything kind of set up to go with Mary. And then as I studied a little bit more, all of a sudden it's kind of like, thought came to my mind, and I stopped and said, nope, let's go to the central figure first. Next week we're going to talk about Mary. But for some reason, I'm compelled here to look at this and stop and say, you know what? Today we got to deal with Martha. Because I think Martha is typical of so many of us when we do our work for the Lord. And you have on your outline there today, I had there, are we sitting or serving? Are we sitting or serving? Because we find here that verse 39, that she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Now, can I say something? Don't take my words today and stop and say, okay, I've got to sit more. Okay? We need more people serving, not sitting. But the sitting gets the serving going in the right direction. It's interesting, and there's a lot of people that get involved in a lot of stuff in our little church. But even as I look at bigger churches, and my children have been involved with bigger churches and churches of hundreds of people, getting people to serve is still difficult. Many people like to sit. So this message today is not so much based upon the idea of I got to sit a little bit more, but it's going to be based upon the fact that when our serving takes a priority to our setting, and we miss the time of setting as we jump into serving. And when that happens, we begin to get ourselves all discombobulated on the inside, on the outside, in our hearts, in our minds. And that's where the Lord began to take me as I was looking at this. And so I thought, okay, it's more of a, it's not a negative message, but it's a message of warning. It's a message of warning. I didn't say in your outline there today, I didn't say will. I said can be, could be. Do you see that? Doesn't mean everything that I say, have to say here today, will happen if our serving comes before our setting. But it can happen. It can happen. We do live in an age that we stop and our significance is based upon our performance. What we do, what we accomplish, where we are in authority. And sometimes when we get doing that, we miss the picture. And as far as Christians are concerned, to keep the right perspective, to keep the right priority, to keep the right position of where we need to be. And so as we look at this story here this morning, and one that's been used and used so many different times, I find it interesting that the perfect man gives perfect advice. Jesus. Because Jesus created Martha, and Jesus created Mary. And he knew their personalities. He knew who they were. And so he gets involved in this, but I think it's the illustrations of what we see here that need to bring us a sense of peace. And so this morning as we look at this, I have it entitled there, you know, Serving or Sitting. I was going to say and entitle it, and I didn't know if it would be right or not, but I'm going to share it with you anyhow. Are we sitting at his feet or in his face? Because that's what happens here. Mary's at his feet. Martha's in his face, in the vernacular. Lord! And she's mad. And when our serving comes before our sitting, we're going to do some things that we're not real proud of. So let's see what happens here today. Let's take a look at this and let's see what happens here when serving supersedes sitting. Am I sitting or am I serving? When serving supersedes sitting, what's the first thing I find here is this: distractions can sidetrack us. Distractions can sidetrack us. Look up here, and verse 40, it says, and Martha was cumbered about. And Martha was cumbered about. Now, the word there for cumbered means literally to draw around or to draw away. Now, could I illustrate that? How many of you ever watched some guy grab a poisonous snake? Or a snake in general? Sometimes you just wonder, you know, is a dead snake a good snake? I don't know. But you know, what do? They got their hands out like this. And especially if it's a bigger snake. And with one hand, they try to distract the snake and get the snake's attention with the one hand so they can do what? Swoop in behind with the other hand and grab it. Now, again, I'd miss, but you know, but that's what they do. They try to distract the snake so they can do something else to it. And this idea of being cumbered about, to distract, to be driven about mentally is a part of that. To be overoccupied or too busy. To be overoccupied or too busy. And when serving supersedes sitting, as what we find here, distractions can sidetrack us. She's there, she's in her home, and all of a sudden this is going, and she's thinking about this and wondering about this, and is this getting done, is that getting done? And she's got a sister there who could help her. But in this situation, a sister was doing probably the better thing, and was doing the better thing. It doesn't mean Jesus never rebukes her for serving. It's everything else that distracts her in her service. So when serving supersedes sitting in our lives, when we think that we're gaining God's favor, when we think that God's going to be pleased because I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and God, aren't you glad you have me? We get ourselves into trouble. We get ourselves into trouble. And so what happens is next. When serving supersedes sitting, self-pity can set in. Self-pity can set in. What was going on here with Martha? What made her mad? What got her going? Woe is me. I'm doing all the work. I'm doing all the preparations. And maybe prior to that, Mary did help her. We don't know. Probably so. And Mary did help her. Maybe Lazarus was there and be able to help out a little bit too. But basically speaking, what happens here is self-pity sets in. Helen Keller. Remember, how many of you in elementary school, and this is dating us, Helen Keller was required reading in your elementary school. It was required reading for us. You know, you're reading the story. What are they reading now? You know, but Helen Keller, you know, blind and deaf and all this, and all that she went through, Helen Keller said this: self-pity is our worst enemy, and if we yield to it, we can never do anything wise in this world. Helen Keller, talking about self-pity. Somebody said this: I used to have a real problem with self-pity. Every time that the devil would throw a pity party, I would attend. Okay. That's pretty good. That's pretty good there. Someone else said this: self-pity is easily the most destructive of the non-pharmaceutical narcotics. It is addictive, gives momentary pleasure, and separates the victim from reality. But what happened here was this: Martha, all of a sudden, when she finally gets angry, the anger was fostered by this sense of, I'm doing it all and nobody's helping me. And you know what? In that day, we can enter her heart and we can begin to understand a little bit of how she was feeling and what was taking place. You ever get at home and Thanksgiving dinner is all done except for cleaning up the dishes? And everybody else seems to disappear, and who's left cleaning up the dishes? I don't know, in your home. But sometimes only one person gets stuck doing the dishes or loading the dishwasher or whatever, and everybody else is kind of out and just, you know, all of a sudden they're going comatose with all the turkey and stuff they've eaten, you know. And we begin to start to feel a little sorry for ourselves. And this happened here. And we have to be careful that sometimes when we serve the Lord, that we begin to start to say, oh man, well, where's anybody else? Where's this person? Where's that person? Why couldn't they help? Why couldn't that person help? And we begin to start to feel sad in ourselves and begin to start to feel a little sorry for ourselves. And that was Martha's problem here. What else do we find when serving supersedes sitting? Attitudes can be affected. When Jesus was talking with the girls here, the ladies here in this situation, he did not talk to them as much about the things that they were doing as the attitude that they had. Martha, Martha, you're troubled. It's only one thing is needful. And our attitudes can be affected. What is it about Martha? Martha was a servant. I'll show you something in this message here that shows that. But in being a servant, what had she lost? A servant's heart. A servant's heart. And we can be servants and lose a servant's heart. And what happens then to our service? It's tainted. We can be a servant, have a servant's heart, and not have a servant's heart, and what happens in regards to reward? The Lord says, well, you got it, here on earth. And as Martha is here and dealing with this, and her service was not bad, but it superseded her sitting. And because of that, attitudes can be affected. We find the attitude here, Martha was basically rebuked Jesus and then was rebuked. And she's worried. She's upset. We find here saying, you know, what about my sister? I'm alone doing all this. And all of a sudden, our servanthood, its attitude can be changed. And now we do it with resentment. We do it harboring bitterness and angry feelings. And so we have to be careful in this situation here, but I think the Lord put it here for us to see that we have to be careful ourselves in our own service. When we serve the Lord, that we don't allow these things to begin to enter into our lives and to upset us when we serve. So there's an attitude that can be affected, no longer a servant's heart. And then, when serving supersedes sitting, irrational thoughts can happen. You say, irrational thoughts. Read this statement with me. Look at it here. Lord, verse 40, dost thou not care? Stop. Lord, you don't care. And in our hearts and our lives, that's irrational if we know the Word of God. We know our Savior came to this earth for one reason, to die for us. Now, they didn't understand that at this time yet. They were still being taught that. But we understand today. And when we understand what we was going on and our feelings, have to be very, very careful that we don't begin to start to think and say things that we know are not true. If there's anyone on this earth that ever walked this planet that cared, it was Jesus. And yet at this time, Martha didn't understand all of who Jesus was and all that was going to take place in his life, but we do. And when we do, and when we understand, and then we begin to make thoughts, and we begin to make accusations, do you not care? Poor Martha. Probably one of the most graceless statements found in the New Testament. For her to accuse the Savior of the world of not caring. One of the most irrational thoughts that could take place. You know, she could have kind of got in behind Jesus. You know, we've all done that before with our kids. Our kids are acting up somewhere, and we're trying to get their attention to straighten them up, and we kind of get around and try to get their eye. You know, I can imagine old Martha was trying to do a lot to get Mary's eye during that time. But then, because she couldn't, she begins to make this statement that is like, oh, wow. Do you not care? And sometimes we find ourselves in situations that are difficult. And we find ourselves in times that are hard to go through. We have to be careful of where our minds take us, where Satan takes our minds as we're serving. Irrational thoughts can happen. Lord, do you not care? But as we see the story continue to unfold, their focus can be misdirected. Our focus can be misdirected. What's happening here? And she said to him, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me? Now, who's got the anger issues at this moment? It's Martha. Who's got the self-pity issues at this moment? It's Martha. But what did she begin to do at this point? As she turns around and she's looking at the wrong person in regards to what's going on. I'm always reminded of this situation when in the book of John, and John chapter 21, and here it is. The Lord's getting ready to leave. And you know the story. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And Peter's finally crushed, and he's broken in his spirit, in his heart, in his mind. And the Lord talks about what his demise might be and how he could possibly die. And what does Peter do? Peter looks at the Lord and says, but what about him? Misdirected focus. And what's the Lord say? Peter, it doesn't matter about him. He's talking about the Apostle John. And we get into life, and we get to serving, and we get to putting out and putting into and doing these things. And then sometimes we start to look at others who maybe aren't. And we take our eyes off the task that God has placed before us. We take our eyes off the events that are around us. And we start putting off our Savior, and we start putting them on the things that are around us. And all of a sudden, our focus begins to get misdirected. And we stop and we say, but, and we point and we point and we look at and we look at and we stop and say, but Lord, I'm sacrificing and I'm doing this and I'm doing the other, and they're not. And when our serving supersedes our sitting, our focus can be, I didn't say will be, remember, can be misdirected. These are all warnings that we've come up with here. And as we come up with these warnings here, it can happen. It happened to Martha here. Not all of these things have to happen to us, but they could. They could. And so all of a sudden we find the focus being misdirected here. But Mary, my sister's left me alone. And Peter says, but what about him? And Jesus says, you've got enough to deal with within yourself. Keep yourself on point. Keep yourself on task. And let me take care of the rest. Let me take care of the rest. And this is hard. This is so hard. But we see that as we go on here, when serving supersedes sitting, demands can be inappropriate. Demands can be inappropriate. What do I mean by that? Well, look here in verse number 40 again. When Martha is there in verse 40 in the last phrase, bid her therefore that she help me. That's in the imperative form. Martha takes Jesus and she says to him, make her listen. Make her help. And she goes to Jesus himself and she's telling Jesus what to do. Haven't we all been there? Haven't we all had things happen in our lives? And we go to the throne of grace and we demand that Jesus do it this way. And we expect that we have already come up with the scenario, the conclusion, the way it's got to be done, the way it'll work out best for everybody. We have meditated and thought and thought and thought and thought about it. And as we've done all those things and we thought, we come to the Lord and say, okay, God, I'll help you out. Do it this way. And we place demands upon God that are inappropriate for the creatures to make to the Creator. And in the imperative form, she says, make her do it. You know, it's like we say this a lot and we laugh about it a lot. But I've said to my father-in-law in the past, I think you haven't spanked your daughter enough when she was little. Okay, but you know we joke back and forth about that. He says, "I don't think maybe I should have," you know. But we make demands that are inappropriate. I'm not going to make a demand that he spanks my wife. Okay, but what do we do? What do we do sometimes? Our serving gets ahead of our setting, and because we're so busy, and we got so many things on our plate. And we're trying to think, God is going to be happy with this. God is going to be pleased with this. We begin to make demands on God that can be inappropriate. That can be inappropriate. So when our serving supersedes our sitting, busyness can be overwhelming. Busyness can be overwhelming. When Jesus spoke to Martha in verse number 41, he says, you're careful or you're anxious and you're troubled about what? not the meal, many things. Many things. And when we get in the process of doing and doing and doing and serving, which are good things, but we do it without first setting and spending time with our Lord and our Savior, the busyness that could set in is overwhelming. You're anxious about this. You're worried about this. To be unduly concerned, and you're bothered and you're troubled about what? Many things. Not just, okay, is the lamb done? Good enough. Let's have some lamb chops and we'll be finished. Here's a little bit of flatbread. Finished. Enough. There were so many things, and what happens sometimes when we get involved in these projects, it's kind of like Joshua. Remember when the Gibeonites came, and they had all these things here, and they looked like they had been traveling for a long journey and everything, and the bread was moldy, and their shoes were worn out, and what did the Word of God say? And Joshua did not ask the Lord. And Joshua did not ask the Lord, and he was tricked. He was tricked. And sometimes I think when we do the Lord's work and we do the Lord's service, which is a good thing to be done, if we don't consult the Lord and really sit at his feet and ask, the busyness that can set in can be overwhelming in trying to do the task. And we pull our hair out and we get upset and we go, how's this ever going to come to pass? And how's it ever going to happen? And that was her problem here. That was her problem. Serving before setting. And then we see another thought. Priorities can be misguided. Priorities can be misguided. Jesus exposes a problem. And then he says this. He says, there was only one thing that was necessary. There was only one thing that was needful, verse number 42. And I remember as a younger man hearing this and hearing people talk about, well, Mary, you made too much. You had too many things on the table. You didn't have to make all that food. It was too much. But that's not the context of what's going on here. The context was, where are you going to spend your time? With whom? With whom? And Jesus was saying at this point, there's one thing that would have been necessary here, and Mary chose that. Martha, you didn't. And when we get so focused on serving and serving and serving and not spending time setting, we can miss the big picture. We can miss what God wants us to do. We get so just moving so fast and going sometimes, and we miss what the small, quiet things that might make a big difference of what's going on. And our priorities can be misguided. And I'm thinking, I'm doing this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this to make that happen, this to make that. And there's nothing wrong with planning all these things. But what happens is we don't spend time first with the Creator, so that he can help us to be creative. And when you and I first spend time with the Creator, creativity can flourish. And we won't miss what's most important. And we'll be able to catch what's going on. And as we see this happening, what else happens at this point? As we see what's taking place here, it's blame could be assigned. Blame could be assigned. What did she say here back prior to this verse here? And some of these just kind of came to me and I put them down. She says, Lord, don't you care? My sister, she let me serve alone. It's all her fault. I wouldn't be this way if she wouldn't have been that way. If she would have come alongside and helped me get things together and stuck with me in the kitchen, I wouldn't be feeling this way. And blame all of a sudden can be assigned. And we begin to blame people around us. We begin to blame situations around us, circumstances, events around us. We begin to blame everything else but ourselves. When we serve before we set. Which brings us to the next point. Personal accountability could be neglected. Personal accountability could be neglected. What do I mean by that? Do you see anything in this story of where Martha steps back and she says, oops? No. She didn't look at herself and begin to ask herself this question, what skin do I have in this game? What is my part in this? What about my reaction to this event? How am I dealing with it? And it's if every other event would be okay and every other person would be okay, I wouldn't be this way. Remember we talked a little bit about joy before? During the time of the shutdown and when we were here, Jake was looking at my mug and I was looking at his mug, you know, and we were here and I talked about joy. And what makes the difference between joy and happiness? Happiness is based upon the word happenings. And if all the happenings are okay, then happiness will be okay. But joy that's deep-rooted is okay even when the happenings are not okay. And what we have to stop and we have to realize that in these situations like this, we do have to stop and ask ourselves some questions. And Martha gets busy here and dictates to the Lord his responsibilities. He demands him to correct Mary instead of assuming her own accountability. We get so wrapped up in the busy cycle of doing, and there's nothing wrong. We still need to be doing. We still need to be serving. But when we miss the sitting, we miss the serving. And the best could be missed. When serving supersedes sitting, the best could be missed. The word here, but Mary has chosen that good part. It's a superlative, actually, in the original language. It's the best part. Mary has chosen that which is best. Jesus didn't say that, you know, with the superlative being there, he's not saying that what she was doing was not bad, was bad. He was just saying that there's good, better, and best. And she chose the best. Martha, what you're doing is better, but it's not the best. And when we get so caught up in serving without sitting, sometimes we could be missing the best thing. The most important part of the Christian life is the part that only God sees. I saw that statement and I thought, whoa, listen to it again. The most important part of the Christian life is the part that only God sees. And that becomes the best. And she was sitting at his feet. And we'll talk all more about that next week. That time of quiet devotion, that time of prayer. You talk to people and you find people with problems, and if you ask them this question, how's your walk with the Lord? How's your time in the Word? How's your time of talking with Him? And generally, it'll come up pretty short. And sometimes when we get involved so much in serving and it supersedes our sitting, we miss the best that God has for us. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse number 5, "For without me you can do nothing." Mary's chosen the better. But could I say something to you? I think that's become a major problem in Christendom today. In Philippians 1 and verse 10, Paul writes to those believers, and he's writing from jail, and he says this, "That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and well without offense till the day of Christ." I believe today that so often in Christendom, we are not choosing that which is most excellent. We're not weighing out good, better, best. Okay, let's go with the best. If good is good enough, so fine. You ever been in school? If a C was good enough, a C is what the teacher got. I've done tricks like that before. How many of us used to sit at the end of the semester, the end of the grading period, and we'd know what the grades all were, and we figured, okay, here's what I need just to get the credit, and I'm done. Was that the best? No, that was just good enough. And Paul writes to this church, and he tells these Christians, he says, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Excellent. And for us to understand that sometimes when we're serving and we're not setting, we're missing the best that could be done. What'll happen? This is just a general statement. Spiritual growth will be stunted. Spiritual growth will be stunted. If you and I are not sitting and we're not learning and we're not being taught, where are we going to be growing spiritually? If we're not in the Word each day and we're not trying to spend time with our Savior and say, okay, God, this is your holy book. This has been recorded and transmitted down through history. It's there for me, and we're not going to grow. Remember the old chorus? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll what? Grow, grow, grow. Remember, kids, you have to do the grow, grow, grow. And then you do what's the other one? Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll what? Shrink, shrink, shrink. Okay, you remember those days. You can't do it now because your knees won't help. All right. You didn't see me go down very deep either. Okay. But what happens is this: spiritual growth will be stunted when we don't spend time sitting with Jesus. We don't spend time sitting with Jesus. And could I say next? Rebuke will be coming. Rebuke will be coming. Now, I think this is so, so sweet. She walks up to Jesus. Martha walks up to Jesus, and she says, "Lord," and she's in his face. This is not just a little bit old, "Master, please." She's angry by the original language, and she's upset with the Lord because of accusing him of not caring, accusing him of not taking care of the situation and helping her out and getting her sister to help out, and she's accusing. And Jesus answers and says unto her, "Martha, Martha." Jesus was just condemned. Jesus was just told he blew it. He knew better. But she let him have it. And he just stepped back and said, "Oh, dear lady, Martha, Martha." And there was not a response of anger on the Lord's part. There was a response of correction. There was a response of a little bit of chastening, but there was a response of compassion. He looked at her and he said, "Yeah, Mary's doing this. I got it. Martha, you've been doing this. I got that too. Come on. Come here." And he speaks to her in this such a kind, kind way. And Mary's chosen that which is better. But I like what you're doing, Martha. But you gotta gear it back a little bit. Why? You're so consumed with serving. You're missing the time with me. Missing the time with me. But I love to see where this goes. Would you turn with me to John in chapter 12? John in chapter 12. Restoration can happen. John chapter 12 and verse number 1, then Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany. Here we are again, back. And it's there where Lazarus, with which he had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there they made him a supper, and Martha, what? Served. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him, Jesus. Then Mary took a pound of ointment and spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus. There she's at his feet again. And wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And what do you find this time? And Martha served, and Mary anointed his feet, and it was all good. And it was all good. Isn't it beautiful, our Savior? He takes us, and he's got to sometimes straighten us up. But sometimes, how often do we get ourselves into this spiritual mess when serving supersedes our sitting? And Martha missed it, Mary got it. But in his rebuke and in his gentleness and in his compassion, Martha, Martha. And we read just a little bit later that she served. And Mary was again at his feet. And it was all good. It was all good. When we stop and we think about our service for God, sometimes we can get overwhelmed. Sometimes we get misdirected in our focus. And we can start to say, hey, God. And we begin to get a little bit sideways. I think it's good. Martha gives us a real good example here of what could happen to us. We got to be careful. We got to be careful. And as we're careful, the Lord will be pleased. And so what's our big idea today? The big idea here is this. Don't let your work for Christ supersede your worship of Christ. Don't let your work for Christ supersede your worship of Christ. We all got to serve. The church needs more people serving all around the world. But service will be inspired service when sitting takes precedent. And when we worship at the feet of Christ, then we'll be motivated. Then we will be driven. Then we will have the direction that He wants us to have. A lot of us get involved in serving and doing and serving and doing, and those are all good things. But let's make sure that we don't miss the best thing. And Martha gives us this story, and it's recorded through history, and we'll see next week Mary, at the feet of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus. What does that look like when we find ourselves sitting at His feet? Father, we come before You this day, and Lord, as a sense of warning in our own hearts and our own lives, may we be careful. May we stop and may we see You seeing you exalted and seeing you lifted up. Lord, may we sense that time spent with you will refocus us, will redirect us, will cause us to better understand how we ought to be. Lord, we get so busy. We get so many things on our plate sometimes. And Satan, and they're good things, and Satan uses them as a distraction because of we're not sitting where we need to be. Help us, Lord, all to serve. Help us to have a servant's attitude, a servant's heart, a servant's spirit. But help us, first of all, to realize that is accomplished as we sit at the feet of our Savior and we worship with Him. Help each one in this room to find that time to be able to spend with you. And then, Lord, to turn that setting into service for you. Lord, thank you for recording this story. Knowing Martha is where she's at now and she's rejoicing with you in glory. Thank you, Father, that we still have this to learn to teach us how we ought to be. Lord, if there's someone in this room here that doesn't know you as their Savior, they've not sat at your feet yet and received you as their Savior, may they do that before they leave this room here today. And we thank you, Father, again, that we can be here with you and we can worship you. And as we go through this week, with all the busyness, with all of the news, with all of the things that are taking place in the world around us, may we see and sit with our Savior. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.